Right before he raises dead Lazarus, we see Jesus praying. But our instinct is to glance over it because we expect Jesus to pray. And the topic itself, praying, prayer, is not very exciting. And what is following is Jesus raising Lazarus. What is prayer compared to that great miracle? So our tendency is to once again go directly to that moment when Jesus calls Lazarus from the dead and death and from the tomb, and we simply want to witness Lazarus walking out. But again, we see something that is revealed to us here today, that Jesus prayed right before he raised Lazarus. So I believe there's something that we could learn from these verses that we have just read. Jesus begins by saying what? Father. And you know what I'm going to say about that. Unlike his contemporary Jews, Jesus almost always referred to God as Father. And it tells us two things: intimacy and dependency of Christ unto his Father. Jesus, now as the incarnate Son of God, depended on the Father for all things through the power and help of the Spirit. But that must be distinguished from his eternal sonship. As we have been confessing for past few weeks, the second person of the Trinity is eternally and necessarily the Son. There was never a point in time that he was not. There was never a point in time that he was not the Son. The Son is the only begotten of the Father, not made, not created. The Son, according to his divine nature, is co-eternal and co-essential with the Father, as we have confessed last week. So whenever we see Jesus, you have to, in your mind, have Jesus in two ways. Jesus as incarnate Son, who is totally dependent upon the Father, but the Son in his divine nature, he is co-essential and co-eternal with the Father. But I want you to notice something. What is the context? As you know, he just wept and he just came to the tomb and he's about to raise dead Lazarus. And there are probably hundreds of people, but he does not change the address into something else, but as Father. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:9, our Father. Luke 11, basically it's the same thing, but Father. We are taught by Jesus himself to address God as Father. So what a privilege it is to witness Jesus right before he performed his greatest miracle on earth, raising the dead Lazarus. He addresses his God as Father, and you and I, basically we have the same access to God as Father. And what is the next word? He says, Father, and he says, I thank you. Once again, stakes are high and many people are watching him. And he could have said many things. He could have said, Father, help me. Father, vindicate me. Father, prove my divinity, or something like that. The very first words that proceeding from his mouth is Eucharisto. So basically saying, thank you. How can we learn from his prayer in this way? Thank him first when you pray and as you pray. And let the thanksgiving undergird your prayer throughout. Bible says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, as the wheels do not turn without oil being applied, our prayer wheels often do not turn until the oil of thanksgiving is poured into our prayer. Think with me. By the time you and I, we pray to God, you are already under pressure. And you are tempted to say to God something like this, God, listen, something came up in my life and I want you to help me. You know, I haven't been a good Christian lately, but I want you to help me this time. And if you do, I swear, I will do something for you. That's how normally people pray. But instead of bringing requests in that way, somehow you are negotiating with God. If you do this for me, I will do that for you. Why don't you give thanks just like Christ did? Very first words is, I thank you. And thanksgiving opens a highway to the throne of God. Why? Because thanksgiving assumes faith within. When you thank God for past and present, you are acknowledging God in faith, by faith, for His grace and goodness. In giving thanks to God for His future actions, you are claiming what is in the future as yours in Christ. In giving thanks, our faith is stirred and raised to heavens. If faith is a package that needs to be proven before God, thanksgiving is like UPS bringing that faith directly in front of God. If faith is my internal conviction, thanksgiving is that faith turned inside out toward God. If God is pleased with my faith, God is glorified in my thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the ladder with which you could climb out of the pit, as you have seen with Psalms, so many Psalms, David's Psalms. However low you might be, thanksgiving will raise you to the very throne of God. So if you feel like your prayer is not going up to God, greater your request, the greater your thanksgiving must be. Okay, so whenever you request something to God, instead of saying, God, I need this, I want you to do this, give thanks to God, God will answer you. And let's look at the contents again of Jesus' prayer. He said, Father, I thank you. You have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. Look carefully with me the three things here. He says in verse 41, I thank you that you have heard me. That is in the past, an aorist. You have heard me. When? John 11, look at John 11. When did Jesus pray about this? We do not see that included in John 11. So we have to assume that Jesus prayed at the moment that he heard the news. Jesus prayed when he heard the news and ever since. So that's why in verse 41, he could say to God, you have heard me. So we learn that prayer for Jesus was an integral part of his life and ministry. And prayer preceded his ministry. Second thing that we learn from his prayer is this, in verse 42. I knew that you always hear me. So this miracle won't be a singled out, a standalone event. But even this miracle of the miracles is but an extension of his day-to-day dependency and intimacy on God the Father, and where his requests are always granted. It is a miracle to us, but this is not so much a miracle to Jesus, but Father granting his requests. And third, he says this, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. You see how Jesus doesn't say, I thank you that you are hearing my request, my prayer topic, my petition. But twice, what does it say? I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I want you to know something from his prayer. Praying person and prayer requests cannot be separated. As I was reading this, it reminded me of Cain and Abel. What happened to them? Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. You see, the reason why Abel's offering was accepted was not because God liked meat and not the fruit, but because of whom he was that brought these offerings to God. For Cain and for his offering, he had no regard, Bible says. And when God rebuked Cain, this is what he said. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. So praying person and prayer cannot be separated. Yes, it is true that we are hard on the merit of Christ alone. But we also have to affirm this. Isaiah 59:2 says this. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Listen to Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety, fear, submission, reverence. That's how many English translations translate the word. He was heard not because he was divine, not because his divinity, not because he was co-eternal and co-essential with the Father, but emphasis lies in his human nature. Our prayer may seep through under the gap of the door because we are heard through Christ. But having that intimacy with God in His holiness is like that door being removed, our prayer having that highway to God's throne. What is the basis of Jesus' confidence today? Jesus could say these things, yes, because of His divine nature. But if you look at John, entire John, he is confident of God the Father granting his wishes because of two. Because of his obedience and because of his aim for the glory of God. He could say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. He could say these things because of his obedience and because of his aim for the glory of God. John 8:29 says this, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Why? For I always do what pleases him." You see, the emphasis is on the do. Therein lies Christ's confidence. His aim for the glory of God. John 8:50 says, "But I do not seek my glory." Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." And in John 11, twice you have heard him say this, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Glory of God is something that consumed Jesus in his entirety. We cannot always perfectly obey God, but we can. We cannot always perfectly aim for the glory of God, but we can. It's the point. Do not be discouraged in thinking that I should measure up to Christ's dependency, obedience, giving glory to God. We cannot measure up. But the fact is, after we are born again, we can. We can obey, and we can aim for the glory of God. So to the degree that you are sanctified in these, you may enjoy that intimacy and in turn, subjectively speaking, the confidence in your fellowship with your God. Does not mean God will always grant your wishes, but you could be confident like Christ and say, "God, you hear me always in the name of Christ." Another thing that is included in Jesus' prayer is what? The last sentence. So that, look at verse 42, "so that they may believe that you sent me." He's praying for the people around him. We talked about the theme of John is sign, performing sign, revealing his glory, and disciples and people believing in him. So what we can learn from his prayer, from the last section of his prayer, is that while Jesus is seeking God's glory, he always left room for evangelism. That is an amazing thing. Think about it. The pressure is high. Hundreds of people are looking at Jesus, wondering what he's going to do. But he prays to the Father, same Father that he always prayed. Because of his obedience, because of his piety and reverence, he's always heard by the Father. But he does not stop there. And why don't you examine your prayers? How many times do we have room for evangelism so that they may believe that you sent me? Oftentimes, our requests are so big, are so urgent. We simply say to God, "God, I need this. Lord, lift this sanction up so that our businesses could open up again. We may go back to work. We may do this and that." You see, because that is so urgent, it occupies all of our hearts and minds. But if we could learn something from Jesus' prayer today, so that people may believe that the Father sent Jesus, many of us, we simply request our petitions. I hope and pray that you and I, we could have room left in us to pray to God, God, use me to show that you are true and living God. Help me to testify to the unbelieving employees and my friends at work that you are sustaining me and you are a true God. Now, I want to move on to my final section of my sermon today. Now, let me ask you this question. If I had asked you before today, how did Jesus raise Lazarus? How would you answer that question? You may answer in this way. Jesus loved them, and as we have seen, Jesus wept openly before everyone because he sympathized with the dead and the people living, but who are experiencing the penalty of this pang of death. So Jesus calls him out, as we will see next week. Lazarus, come out. And he came out. So you will say, that proves Jesus is powerful and Jesus is God. But you learned something very important today from today's text. If prayer is not included, you could just say that and move on. But from this prayer, we learn something very, very important. That is, Jesus raising Lazarus is not performed by himself in his own power, but was an answer to his prayer to the Father. See? That was an eye-opener to me, and I felt great freedom and relief. If Jesus hadn't prayed this prayer, we would despair in our attempts to give glory to God. Who can perform miracles like Jesus to give such great glory to God? But think of giving glory to God in this way. We often think of giving glory to God with our exceptional performance and achievements, right? Something worthy. That's how we glorify God. I thought about mega churches giving glory to God. It makes sense for mega church to give thanks to God because God obviously blessed them. But let me ask you this question. How can you glorify God? How can RPC glorify God? We cannot always achieve, humanly speaking, great things always, all the time. What if you fail? What if you cannot achieve that high status that you want to achieve? Does that mean that our giving glory to God is cut in half? I think we always think about giving glory to God in proportion to my success. But if you think that way, you will feel defeated and you will feel depressed. Many times, you will burn out. You must realize giving glory to God has never ever depended upon me in the first place. Think of giving glory to God in this way. God accomplishing things for himself through the humble people of God who depend on him in total surrender. Instead of giving glory to God, depends on me. I have to accomplish this, and higher my achievements, God is glorified in greater measure. Don't think that way, but think of it as God accomplishing things for himself through us. We are but an instrument. It is to the degree that we yield ourselves before the Lord so that he could manifest himself through us, God receives glory. Humble, total, day-to-day, constant dependency on God clears way for God to accomplish great things through weak yet strong people of God. My human efforts are really clogging up the pipe through which God wants to send down his blessings. Without this, without verse 41 and 42, you and I, we will say, Jesus raised Lazarus. But you see from these two verses that it is not so much Jesus raising Lazarus, but it is God raising Lazarus through Jesus is the right way to see John 11. Because Jesus says, Father, I thank you, you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. He always obeyed the Father. So Father was pleased to be with him every step of the way. His aim was always for the glory of God. So Father was pleased to grant his prayer requests. And I hope and pray that you could see your lives in that way. Not so much that I have to do this. I have to accomplish. Reformation Presbyterian Church has to hit this mark, hit this attendance level. Then God will be glorified as I achieve bigger and more things for God. Instead of thinking that way, let go and let God, if I could say that. That God may use us through us. And it is God who is going to accomplish things for himself, for his glory. We are but an instrument for God's glory. And remember that. And our focus should be, how can I obey God? And how can I gain more intimacy with God so that I may have more confidence in God? Whether God is going to raise Lazarus or not, it depends on God's sovereignty and in his grace. That's something that we don't have to worry about. I want to end today's sermon with someone's words who knew what it means to yield himself for the glory of God. It is from 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 through 11. This is obviously Apostle Paul speaking. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in it. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So that the power of Christ may dwell in me and in us. And may God hear us in Christ's name as you seek to obey and please the Father. Let us pray.